Church, stand with me tonight. Turn to page number 139. Choir, stand with me. Let's all together sing at Calvary. Evening. What a great service we had this morning. We're so thankful for everything that's been done so far. That's Calvary Church singing about Calvary Hill. Amen. And it is so thankful for a place called Mount Calvary. I'm glad to know I'm saved, and I trust that you are. If not, you're in a great place tonight. You'll hear the gospel and have another opportunity to come to know the Lord. Please remember all of the prayer requests that were given this morning. We have a quite lengthy list. Please remember the Palmers. And, they have moved. Is it South Carolina, I believe, that they moved to?
Yeah, they're back and forth.
Okay, yeah. Back and forth. Yeah. So just please remember them in prayer. They're going through a very difficult time. And others that have undergone surgery that are trying to recover, some in the hospitals, and just a lot of things going on. So please, let's remember all of those prayer requests. I was speaking with the choir a little bit ago. The next thing right around the corner is Easter. Can you believe we're talking about Easter already? I believe that is April the 20th. Somebody mentioned that it will be on a Sunday morning. And it will. It will. Thankfully, it always has been, always will be, until we get home to be with Him. And then we'll celebrate Easter forevermore. Amen. And but every day, truly, is Easter for the child of God. Especially every Sunday that we get to come together and celebrate the resurrection of the Lord. Let's go to Him in a word of prayer and ask God's blessing on the service tonight. And again, remember all the prayer requests and pray for pastors. He brings our message. Brother Don, would you lead us as we pray?
Thank you.
sorrows and fears pass away, heartaches soon vanish, and burdens can't stay. Shall return some glad day, a blessed appearing for those who've obeyed. Every tongue shall confess him to be the Lord of lords. They shall bow to the power.
Glad you're here tonight. Say amen. 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 I tell you, I've off and on been thinking about the storms last night, and we were embracing, felt like, at the house for a hurricane. And then, of course, it did do some damage in certain areas. But it felt just like I was embracing myself for a crash in a car, and I kept waking up and nothing happening. We had a lot of strong wind. Neighbor's fence, of course, this was a part of the last storm we had. A neighbor's fence in the backyard blew over, and some of it blew over couple of days ago. Besides fences blowing over, we did all right in my neighborhood, but I know there's others who were touched by the storm. I seen on the news this morning the big old tall plumber fell over up there in Dallas. Bless his heart. And looked like he got knocked over down there by his leg. And he'd been standing up over there for a long time. And anyway, on a serious note, all of those who have suffered damage to their property and even physically suffered some problems, praying for them. And then I haven't heard of a death toll or anything, but hopefully there hasn't been any. But nonetheless, we made it through the storm. Made it through the storm. All right, Ephesians chapter number 4 tonight, just for a few moments, and we'll let you go. Ephesians chapter number 4. We're going to be looking at verse number 1 through 6 this evening. And last Sunday morning, and then this past Wednesday night, we looked at Paul's powerful prayer to the Ephesians, is what we looked at. Now, tonight I want to look at, out of these verses, Paul's powerful preaching to the Ephesians. We looked at Paul's powerful prayer, and tonight I want us to look at Paul's powerful preaching. I want to say that his preaching was powerful because of its subject. And the subject was keeping the unity of the church. And I want to say by way of introduction tonight that this subject is so relevant today because of what the church is up against. We are up against the world. We are in competition mode with the world, trying to get people in. We're up against the devil, as we mentioned this morning. And then we're up against the flesh. The world, the devil, the flesh. That's what the church is up against. And so therefore, this powerful message Paul preached to the Ephesians concerning unity in the church is so relevant, so relevant. And we have church leaders and workers who are laboring and working tirelessly to keep the unity in the churches, keep the sanctity in the churches, to keep the church pure and honest and Christ-centered. This is certainly a labor, especially in the day and time in which we live. Someone said one time that each church, each local church, is its own society. Think about this for a moment. Each local church is its own or has its own society. There's different people that make up each local church. We come from different backgrounds. There's different mindsets. There's different ideas and personalities. But the society in the church has Jesus as its head. His truths and principles and expectations are the same for everybody who attends that local assembly. The society and societies within the world argue if this is right, if that is wrong. But when it comes to the church and the sanctity thereof, it is literally black and white because we have the Bible. And it lays out the blueprint. It lays out what God desires of His church. And so, therefore, within Paul's powerful preaching to the church of Ephesus, he mentions at least four things to these Ephesians concerning the local church and how they should operate in order for them to be used of God. This is what I want to mention tonight. Four things in Paul's message to the Ephesians. Number one, in verse number 1, we see Paul's plea. Notice what he says. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And so Paul pleads here to the Ephesians. And his plea has to do with them walking honorably and honestly. So number one, Paul's plea to walk honorably. Notice this, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. I think this is really something because Paul mentions who the author of his prison experiences is. He doesn't say Nero is he's prisoner of. He doesn't say that a jailer is the one that got him in prison or is the author of his prisons. No sickness, no disturbance. But he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. And so Paul is saying to the Ephesians that no matter where you find yourself, Paul was actually in a local prison. But we know that Paul suffered physical problems and health problems, situations with people. He was even stoned one time and left for dead. And so Paul is saying this, if you belong to Christ, he is the author of your prisons. He's the one. Now we know we can make up our own minds and do several things and create our own prisons. But if you're living for Jesus, if you're walking with him, and you find yourself in difficulty, Jesus is the one who can get you through it. And many times, Jesus is the one who is the author of it. And so he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Now, he goes on in verse number one and he says, beseech you or beg you that ye should or that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Now, he says, I beseech you that ye walk worthy. What is he talking about, walk worthy? Is he talking about a perfected walk? Is he talking about a righteous walk? What is he talking about here? Well, no doubt he is talking about a type of righteous walk. But he says, I beseech you, I beg you that ye walk worthy. Worthy. Of course, he continues and says, of the vocation wherewith you are called. But that word worthy is the same word for worthily. It means worthily. Also, that word worthy, it means after a godly sort. So he's saying that we are to have a walk that is a worthily walk. That word worthily, it reminds me of the Lord's Supper, where they were partaking in the Lord's Supper, and Paul says, he that eateth and drinketh unworthily shall be guilty of the Lord's body. So if a person is participating in communion and they are eating the bread and drinking the cup in an unworthily manner, that means they are doing it and they are not reflecting back on the blood of Jesus, his death, burial, resurrection. They are not thinking spiritually. They are not thinking about the price that was paid. Because if you're thinking about the price that was paid and you're thinking spiritually during the time of communion, then there will be self-reflection. There will be self-examination. You will want to get things right on the inside of your heart. And if you do not do that while taking or observing communion, you are guilty of the Lord's body. It's that kind of attitude and it's that kind of sin that put the Lord on the cross to begin with. And so we're looking at that word worthy. And he's talking about if you're walking in an unworthily manner. In other words, Paul's telling the Ephesians, when you walk honorably for Jesus. When you live for him and you go through your day and you assume your responsibilities, do it after a godly sort. is what he's saying. Now he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you should walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. That word vocation simply means invitation. Invitation to salvation. Invitation to service. And so Paul has a plea here in verse number 1. He's saying, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation or the invitation wherewith you're called. In other words, if you're saved, walk like you're saved. If you're serving Jesus, walk like you're serving Jesus. If you're saved and you're serving Jesus, act like you're serving Jesus. Live a life that testifies that you love the Lord. And so he says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. So number one tonight, we see Paul's plea. But number two, I want you to notice Paul's plan. And this is in verse number 2. Paul's plan has to do with characteristics that we should strive for. He says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Again, Paul's plan here for the Ephesians is to create a characteristics that they should strive for. He mentions some things here. Number one, lowliness. He says, with all lowliness. Lowliness is humility of mind. He mentions meekness here. Meekness is gentleness. So he says that we ought to have a walk where we walk with humility of mind, lowliness. And we ought to have a walk where we are walking gentle with meekness. This is Paul's powerful message to the Ephesians, talking about keeping the unity of the Spirit in the church. If we're going to keep the Spirit, the unity and the Spirit of the local church, then there has to be some humility of mind. There has to be some gentleness. But not only that, but he says, with long suffering. And this is just suffering long. This is patience. And so Paul is saying to the Ephesians, and we know it's true tonight, that we have to be a patient people, don't we? We have to be patient when we're going after our goals here as a church. And we have to be patient as we're doing outreach, because sometimes we're doing outreach and nobody comes. We have to be patient with one another. We have to be patient with what we're doing, because it takes time for a local church to grow. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering. And then he says, forbearing one another in love. Now, the word forbearing here, it means to put up with. To put up with. And the word love here is the word agape, which means unconditional love. So Paul is literally saying that within the local church, we have got to put up with each other unconditionally. And can I say that there are times where that's challenging? It just is. Let me ask you a question. With your family at home, do y'all ever argue? I mean, you don't have to raise a hand. Or is there ever any, there's never any arguing at your place, is there? Is there ever any disagreements at your place? Of course not. No. Yes, there is. And if there's disagreements at your place, in my place, if there's arguments at your place, in my place, listen, that happens because we're family, then it's going to happen within a church family. There's going to be times where there's disagreements. There are going to be times when there's arguments. As in every family, these things happen. And so Paul shares with the Ephesians how they ought to walk. It ought to be characteristics that they should strive for. This is his plan. Walk with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, putting up with one another with unconditional love. And so tonight, there is no perfect church. I heard one time that there was a church called the Perfect Church. And, well, we know that that plan failed when the first person walked through the door. Because there is no perfect church, because there is no perfect people. There is no perfect people. So we see Paul's plan. But then number three, in verse number three, we see Paul's point. Paul is trying to bring a message to the Ephesians to stay unified. Verse number three, he says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring. That's a word that makes one tired looking at it and defining it. Because endeavoring means to make effort. Endeavoring means to labor. And really, without even thinking about it, sometimes I'll get invited somewhere. I think I even said it to Mary Ann about the ladies' prayer brunch. She invited me to come, and I said, I will endeavor to be there. It's become part of my language. That means I'm really going to make effort. I'm going to try. I'm going to labor to get there. He says, endeavoring to keep or to guard the unity of the Spirit. And so the Spirit of God is working through the local assembly. There's to be one message, one person worshiped, one mission, and all of those things. And this is something that has to be kept. This is something that has to be guarded, and we must endeavor to guard the unity of the Spirit. Now, he says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit. We are to make effort, we are to labor to guard the unity of the Spirit. We want the Spirit of God to continue to work here. We want Him to feel welcome here. And so we guard, we protect, we keep the unity of the Spirit, but what we don't protect, what we don't guard, what we don't allow is evil spirits. Or the wrong kind of spirit in the local church. Those ought to be things that are taken down, that are destroyed and dealt with. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. That's a uppercase S, meaning the Holy Spirit. And so anything that ever tries to trickle down into the local church that has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit, we are to get rid of. We're to break down. We're to do away with. Then he says, in the bond of peace. Now the word bond there, it means joint tie. It means ligament. Uniting principle. And what he's talking about is peace is that uniting principle. It's that ligament. It's that joint tie that we are to go after. We are to live peaceably with all men as much as possible or lies within us. We ought to speak peace. We ought to be peacemakers. We ought to resolve issues. That ought to be the ligament of this church is peace. Because we have the unity of the Spirit to guard. And so we see that peace keeps us together. And peace is that ligament to keep the unity of the Spirit in the church. So Paul has a point here. But then lastly, and we'll be through tonight, verse number 4 through 6, we see Paul's purpose. And Paul's purpose in these verses is to show one pattern to be emulated. One pattern to be emulated. Listen to this. There is one body and one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Paul's purpose, he's to show this pattern of oneness that's to be emulated. I was thinking about the church down the road, One Baptist Church. No wonder it's called One Baptist Church. I mean, that is really a great name, but it is a name to live up to. Make sure there's no disunity in that church. A oneness, one. They're saying that they're one at their church. And I'm glad that we're one at our church, but we have to continue to guard that oneness of spirit. And so he says here in verse number 4, there is one body. What body is that? That's the body of Christ. We're the body of Christ. We have to guard that body. And then there is one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit that convicts. It's the Holy Spirit that converts. It's the Holy Spirit that encourages. There's only one Holy Spirit, and He will only guide you the right way. But then he says, there is one body, one spirit, even as you're called in one hope. What is our hope? Our hope is heaven, not a hope so, but it's a so hope. We're going there because of salvation. We share the same hope. We have the same destination. We have the same Holy Spirit. We are in the same body. And because of that, we ought to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit, walk in lowliness and meekness, being long-suffering, forbearing one another, walking worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called. That's what Paul's getting at tonight. And so we see his purpose here. But then in verse number 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's only one Lord. There's only one Savior. There's only one faith. There's only one doctrine. There's only one baptism, spiritual baptism. Some say that this refers to water baptism. Others say it refers to spiritual baptism. But at the end of the day, however you take it, Christ is the image they're given here. Christ is the subject matter. We have one Lord, we have one faith, we have one baptism. But then notice in verse number 6, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So we see in verse number 6 that there's the word perpetual. We have one God. He is a perpetual God. He always was and always is and always will be. The perpetual God Almighty. But then there is the parent. He says one God and Father of all. He's Father God. But then he says who is above all. We see his power. He is supreme in power. He is above all. And then he says and through all. He's providential. He works through all situations. We cannot fail while following the Lord. And then he says, and in you all, this has to do with position. He is in us. So Paul's purpose for verse number 4, 5, and 6 is to show one pattern to be emulated. And then again in verse number 3, there's Paul's point to keep trying to stay unified. Verse number 2 is Paul's plan, characteristics we should strive for. And then verse number 1 is Paul's plea, and that is to walk honorably. This is Paul's powerful preaching tonight. And it has to do with keeping the unity of the Spirit in the church. And so with that said, we will stand to our feet. That's the message tonight. Paul's powerful preaching. I hope hopefully something was said that was a help to you. If nothing else, maybe you learned something. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We We praise you for who you are, for what you do, O Lord. And God, we just thank you for today, from this morning till tonight. The song service this morning, the preaching this morning, the song service tonight, the preaching tonight. Lord, we're a people who are thankful. We're thankful for each other. Help us all to glean from the Scriptures and to constantly work on ourselves and be a better version of ourselves, Lord, because we want to emulate you. We are a fraternity of men and women who believe the same, who worship you. We have the same Lord. We have the same hope. We have the same, all the same things when it comes to spiritual things. We're the family of God. And so help us, Lord, tonight move forward as we start our week in love, forbearing one another, loving one another, and praying for one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, if you need to come, why don't you come on the first verse? Nobody comes, we'll close the service out.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the power, and I am the more.
Time for you to come if you need to come tonight. We're in no rush to get out of here. This is why we came. We're being mindful of these that are praying tonight, and let me just say thank you for coming, and it's been a good day today. I hope everybody has a good week this coming up week, and Lord willing, we'll meet you back here on Wednesday. Just remember all these prayer requests, all the prayer requests going out. Again, the Palmers with what they're going through, Diane Ely, Connie Teague, Cece and Chuck Prestridge, and the list goes on and on at the different things we have going on. Just pick up a prayer list, if you would, a bulletin, and look at the prayer list side of it. And just remember. And again, next Sunday will be Youth Sunday, and the Lord willing, we'll have baptism service. And so we may move that to the evening. Not sure as of yet, but we'll work it out, and we're going to get it in there. But all right. Okay, we'll be dismissing a word of prayer if that's all we have. Brother Allen, close out.
Father, we do again come to you thanking you, Lord, for the day that you've given us, the opportunity we've had to be in your house. Lord, thank you for the moving of the Holy Spirit today that we've been able to feel. Lord, we thank you again, Lord, for all that you've done and for keeping us safe through the storm. Lord, we thank you again for that. Please be with these prayer requests that have been mentioned today. Be with us now as we depart and go our separate ways. Take care of us as we go to our homes. We'll praise you and thank you for it all in Jesus' name.